But we've been talking on Sunday mornings quite a bit on the subject of love, haven't we? Now, is love important? And why is it important that we learn to walk in love? We've been talking about it here. We started out at the beginning and Jesus said, Matthew 5:43, you have heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. But verse 44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you. So the first thing that we said is we're going to love our enemies. That's what love does. Now, I'm kind of reviewing just for a few minutes. I'm going to keep it to a few minutes this time. In Jesus' name, you pray for me. So don't preach our review and don't get to our message today. But I think it's very important. Because, see, you are a loved child of a loved God. The Bible says God is love. It doesn't say He has love. He is love. And, of course, we learn that we love our enemies, and most of us know what our enemies are, but an enemy is a person who is actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. That's the basic dictionary definition. Or we could say one that is antagonistic to another, especially one seeking to injure, overthrow, or confound an opponent. And sometimes we refer to something harmful or deadly as an enemy, don't we? Alcohol was his greatest enemy. Or maybe it was drugs, his greatest enemy. That's an enemy that we want to keep our enemy and to fight, isn't it? There are things in our life, and we know that we have an enemy named the devil, and he doesn't like any of us, and he tries to bring what? Havoc to our life, doesn't he? He tries to confound us. He is our opponent. But how many know when we walk in the... Now, we don't love the devil. Come on now. We don't love the devil and his ways, but we do love God. And we do love people, amen? Because how many know? The only difference between some people and you is Jesus, amen? You're born again. They don't know Him yet. They don't know how to walk in love, do they? Hallelujah. But we love our enemies, and we know that it's easy to love our friends, but how many know it's not so easy to love your enemies all the time? Why? Because they don't always speak nice things about you or to you, amen? And if you have friends that act like enemies, you might want to think about not associating with them anymore. Maybe you need to just say, hey, you know, I'm going to have to love them from a distance. Because if you get constant negatives in your life, it can bring you down. God is not negative. We want God in our life, and we may have to pray for them because that's what we do. We learn. What are we going to do? We're going to bless. We're going to do good. We're going to pray for our enemy. That's what the love of God does. But we found out something in Romans 5:5, that the love of God was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. How many know it doesn't say it was shed abroad in your head? The Bible has a lot to say about what? Renewing our mind. Amen. And sometimes that's our problem. We've listened to our mind or our flesh at the expense of our spirit, our inward man, where the love of God dwells. But it is a sure guide now. Why? Because the love of God moved in. You have a spirit. It is now what? Alive to God. It's no longer dead. Under the Old Testament, they did not have that. They had to go to the prophet. Amen. Or to someone else and try to get their leadership. But we have someone on the inside. We've got a love nature in there. And that love can be trusted. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Good news. But how many know that Jesus said at the cross, Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. And some people argue and they say that was Jesus. However, and he could do that. Yes, it's true. But the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you ever notice over there where Stephen, we talked about Stephen the martyr. Amen. Remember what happened? He began to preach the gospel and he was persecuted to the point of being stoned. And as they stoned him, Acts 7:59 says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And verse 60 says, and he knelt down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, what did he do? He just went to sleep. He went on. He said, I'm going on. He was being killed for the gospel's sake. And then, of course, we know that Peter said, render not evil for evil, railing for railing. 1 Peter 3:8. But contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. See, there are rewards for walking in the love of God and listening to our heart and allowing love to have its way. See, when we walk in peace and love toward our fellow man, there are rewards that take place on the inside of us because we're walking like Jesus would walk. And today, I know some of these things seem so simple. And they seem so easy and say, well, we know these things. Yes, we do. But are we staying mindful? Are we being mindful to continue to allow them to work in our heart and to flow from us? Amen. We said that we can aid that process, of course, by praying in other tongues and spending what? Time in private worship. Our personal time with God. Why? So that our spirit is built and is greater than the control of our fleshly man or our natural carnal thinking. We get our mind renewed to what? The truth of the Word of God. It is so important because that is what connects. God and His Word are one. When we read that, it connects with our spiritual man on the inside where the love of God has been what shed abroad. And so what comes forward? The love of God. I remember when I worked at a 7-Eleven store. It's a convenience store. And in the U.S. And I worked at that convenience store. And I think I was 21 at the time. I wasn't yet married. I was going to get married, but I wasn't married. 22, I think. One or two. Anyway, we were talking about getting married and but I was still single man. But this guy walked in one day and he's got, I mean, huge, I mean, muscles, just, you know, just reeking with muscle all over him. And he came in and this is a very low income area and people steal a lot of things. And he brought these cables to the counter and slams them on the counter. He said, can I borrow these? I need to jump the car. I said, no, you can't borrow those. I said, but I could loan you some out of my car. And he became angry. He said, I'll go get the money later. My house is just right back here. I can walk over there. I said, well, you could go walk and get the money, and I'll be glad to sell them to you. And he didn't like that answer and reached across the counter, and thank God it was with an open hand, but he knocked me clean down to the floor. Just boom. One swoop. Boom. Just like that. And just hit my face and I fell straight to the floor. And what welled up in my heart, I thank God. I said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, he just walked out of the store. I mean, there was nothing. They said, well, why didn't you go after him? I said, because I'm not stupid. He's like, you know, huge. He's got big, big muscles. You know, it was nothing for him to knock me to the floor. And I wasn't as large as I am now, I'm probably still developing a little bit. I've got more muscles than I did have then. But, you know, I'm not saying I was just scrawny, but he was huge. And how many know it's the love of God, see, that sets us free? It didn't really bother me. Now, it kind of bothered my manager later. And I was responsible for them getting a new screen, you know, like a TV camera screen, because one we had would be kind of very fuzzy. You could hardly tell who's there. So they got a new one in there. So I was at least something happened. But the reason I'm sharing that is because we can all walk in love. We can all begin to listen to our spirit, see, on the inside of me. I could have listened to my head, see. My head said, hey, that's not right, isn't it? We got to get even. Why don't you just grab that big club they keep back there and slam him over the head? Because that's not what love does. It does not render evil for evil. But contrarywise, what blessing, Peter said. 1 Peter 3:8, that's where we were. Contrarywise, what blessing that you may inherit the blessing. In other words, that tells me that walking in love has something to do with my faith. It can affect you when we're not walking in the love of God. Sometimes people begin to say, well, they may have all the right words coming out of their mouth. You've got all the right confessions, and I don't understand what's wrong. But you see, there's something called the force of love that lives on the inside of you. And when we allow it to dominate us, it brings a power to our faith when we release it, and things begin to change. Hallelujah. It's true anyway. Hallelujah. It is still true. So this morning, I just want to share a few things with us. Moving forward, I'm not going to be real long today. I know everybody's already looking to chorus. Hallelujah. Just continue to fast and pray till we get there. Hallelujah. Hang in there, listen. But praise the Lord. He is good. Amen. Now, I know a lot of these things we've mentioned, and I want to hit it just slightly again, because we talked about the Old Testament law. And if you know about the Old Testament, basically the Old Testament law refers to the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And many of you already know that, but we can also refer to the Ten Commandments. And we mentioned that last time. Remember, we went into the different commandments of God in Exodus 20, where he said, you shall not have any other gods before me. We'll not take, you know, we're not going to make idols. We're not going to take the Lord's name in vain. We're going to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Four commandments that deal with our love, what? To God. And then the other six deal with what? Our neighbor. Honor our father and mother. Amen. That one's got a promise to it, doesn't it? That your days may be long on the earth. In other words, you know, if we don't honor our mother and father, we might be killed. We know that. Now, if you're raised in my generation, you believed it. We didn't do some things because mom or dad might kill us. Now, we didn't mean literally kill you, but almost, you know, that's even worse. Anyway, we honor our mother and father. We don't murder. We don't commit adultery. We don't steal. We don't lie against our neighbor. We don't covet. How many know we're not going to do any of those things if we're walking in the love of God? We're not talking about natural human love. We're talking about the divine love of God. And we mentioned that. The agape of God. In other words, agape is just a Greek word that means the God kind of love. The kind of love that does not render evil for evil, but blessing. The kind of love that what? Forgives. The kind of love that releases and does not hold the sin or whatever happens to the charge. It's the kind of love like Philip mentioned when he said, Father, Do not hold this sin to their charge. Releasing the power of God to such an extent, God could go after the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. Saul at that time. He could go after Saul of Tarsus. And he became, of course, the Apostle Paul. He was there at his stoning. Yet later on, he said, what did he say? Paul, you remember, I have harmed what? No man. You say, well, how could he say that? Because the love of God moved in. He was born again. The love of God was shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost. The blessing of heaven. Amen. Now, so under the new covenant, we're born again, right? We have a new nature. God's written that law where? Upon our heart. Jeremiah 31:3. He said that he prophesied in Jeremiah 31:3. And what did he, let's see, he said, Jeremiah 31:3, he said, the Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you to myself. And then in verse 31:33, he said, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with thee, the house of Israel. After these days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and they will be, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He's saying here in Jeremiah, he was prophesying what was to come. And so we see here in Romans 8:17, that we become what? The sons of God. We become the very sons and daughters of the living King. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans 8. Romans 8:17, the book of Romans, says this, and if children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. But he said, we are children. In verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness, what? With our spirit, that we are a son of the living God. And when we become sons, then we're not bound any longer by the law. We're not bound by the law that's written in the old covenant, but we're bound by the new law that Jesus set into order, which is the law of love. And today we're talking about that law, and we see that abiding in the new covenant of sonship, the law of love takes the place of the old law with its regulations, with the statutes, and with the commandments. We're no longer bound by all of that. Everybody says, well, then, a lot of people, there's small wars that have been fought about the Ten Commandments. Should we keep the Ten Commandments? Well, according to what the Bible says, what? If it's written in our heart and we're walking according to love, then we're going to keep the Ten Commandments. As I've already said, we're not going to steal against our neighbor. We're not going to lie. We're not going to have idols against God. We're not going to do any of those things, are we? We're not going to covet our neighbor's things. We are going to walk in the law. The law of love supersedes the commandments of the old covenant, because they're already written in our heart. It is contained within that law. That law, we have every single law that they could ever come up with. How many know it lives within the law of love that God has, except when they say don't love God? Now, that's a man-made law, but it's not a law toward God. Amen. How many know there are some laws that we have to break because our first love is to God? They ever say you can't serve God in any country? Now, I know some countries, they do try to have that. Amen. And they have said that. And they have to go, sometimes they have to go underground, and they're doing it secretly. There's risks. Some of the pastors that were in China recently, they were kind of activating some more. He'd been in jail. I think they arrested like 30 pastors in China. And one of the pastors was up to be released. He said, "I'm not leaving. Now I tell you, release all of us." And he stayed with his fellow pastors another year or so or more. And finally, they were all released. He said, "Because we are one in Him. And we need to see this change in our nation." Hallelujah. So Jesus in Hebrews 12:24. Let's look at that verse. I hope I'm making sense to you this morning. If you're understanding, the law of love superseded what happened under the old covenant, because they were bound by what? External commandments. They were set up to operate under the external. Why? Because their nature had not yet been changed. It had not yet become one of flesh, their inside part of them. It was still a stony heart here, but they had laws that they were given to curb the flesh, to keep the flesh under control. And of course, according to the law, they could not keep the law. According to what God said, they couldn't keep the commandments of God perfectly. So what did God do? He said, "Okay, I'm going to give you some sheep to kill and some goats that represented the coming Messiah and faith in what was to come." And how were they credited righteousness? By faith. Just like Abraham, every other man was too. But that the blood of bulls and goats could not wash away the sin. But it could cover it. But only so long. They still had that sin consciousness on the inside of them that wanted to do what was wrong. But how many know when you get born again, your nature changes and you want to do what's right in your spiritual being? You may have trouble with the flesh. You may have thoughts that you still got to bring under control. But your inside person, your spiritual man, wants to do what is right. How many know that? Amen. If you've been born again, the Bible says, we mentioned the last time, if you're born again, then what? You love the brethren. How do we know we're born again? By the love you have one to another. Amen. Hallelujah. But we're going to Hebrews 12:24. Hebrews 12:24. Jesus fulfilled the entire covenant. Amen. And brought us to a place of sonship. Verse 24 says this, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." Amen. Hallelujah. How many know under this new covenant, it's not just the sprinkling of blood, but now we've received a nature on the inside. It changed us. It washed that sin away. We don't have a consciousness of sin all the time. But now we are free to walk in righteousness and true holiness with our Father. Let's go to Hebrews 8:6. Hebrews 8:6. "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." The covenant that we came into really is the fulfillment of the covenant of God, because Jesus kept every law. He kept every rule. He did it perfectly and brought to us the ability to walk with Him and be changed from the inside out. Hallelujah. "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." Amen. There was a fault in that first. It could not be kept, and it could not fully forgive. It could not redeem you or purchase you back where God could come and live on the inside of man, which was God's desire from, you know, from the time man fell. He said, "I want to live in man. I love man. I want to be there. I want to be their friend. So under all of that Old Testament law, they were bound to that sin. They could not be free. But how many know Jesus came and paid the price? Their freedom was found in what? In what was to come. Just as your freedom in a physical body is found what? In what is to come. Your new glorified body that you shall receive because it's been credited to your account. Amen. How many know you have a glorified body on account? You're going to get it one day. The moment you lay this one down, you're going to be what? Present with the Lord. You're going to get a glorified body. Praise God. Amen. Won't that be nice? Your body won't bother you anymore. You won't have to comb your hair and you won't have to get up, you know, and put all that makeup on to look pretty. The glory of God will be shining on and through you. Hallelujah. Perfectly. Perfectly. And that's really what Peter said anyway, didn't he? He said, don't worry about all that. It's all right to look nice. It's good to have something on the outside, but ladies and men too, look at your heart. The adorning of our heart with a quiet and gentle spirit, which he has given to us to let what? Love dominate. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're moving forward. But we see here that the New Testament law is what? In our hearts. Let's look at verse Hebrews 8. I'm going to read a little bit further the next verse, which I read that one, but I'm going to read a little bit further here. Verse 8 says, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Jacob, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now, of course, this was referring back to Jeremiah 31:33, which he said the same thing. He said, that day is coming. Now it's here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know that day is here now? We've been changed. We became sons and daughters of the living God. The new commandment of love takes that place of the old Ten Commandments. And we see that there in Hebrews chapter 10. Just turn a page or two over in your Bible. You'll be at Hebrews chapter 10. And Hebrews 10, verse 7, beginning at verse 7, says this, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, what, once for all. See, he came and he said, I've come to do your will, Lord. He said, I'm taking away that first covenant or that first part. I'm fulfilling it. I'm bringing them into a place called sonship. Sons of the living God. Sons of the love of God. Sons that are loved children of a love God. Hallelujah. And if you're walking in love, you're not going to break those Ten Commandments. The New Testament calls the law of love the royal law. Have you ever heard of the royal law of love? Where is that found? That was James, wasn't it? If you just turn a little bit further back in your Bible, Hebrews James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he mentions this royal law that works on the inside of us. It says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law, convinced of the law as transgressors. In other words, you're guilty of a transgressor of the law because you're holding the law above the law of love. But when we begin to walk in the law of love, we fulfill every law. It is the royal law of God. Hallelujah. So, D.L. Moody once said this to a lady. She wanted to become saved. She says, well, I want to get saved, but I really like worldly dancing a lot. He said, worldly dancing? Yeah, you know, the kind that's not so godly. He said to her, well, ma'am, why don't you get born again and you can dance all you want? And so she finally gave her heart to God, and he'd seen her later. He said, well, how's it going? She said, you are exactly right. What happened on the inside of me is the want to left. The want to walk in sin and to have the wrong thoughts and to do the wrong things. He begins to leave our life. What, once Christ moved in? Why? Because the nature was changed. The nature of God did not stay the same on the inside of you. It was that old what was torn out. You were given the heart, the Bible says, of flesh. In other words, one that was pliable and alive to God that God can now work with. Hallelujah. We can understand. It was filled with the love of God. We said that, of course, Romans 5:8, that the love of God was shed abroad where? In your head? No. But in our what? Heart. In our spirit, in other words. It's down on the inside of us, the inward man. Another interesting thing about the love of God is that it abides in the heart of man and not what? In the mind or the body. Does it abide in your body? In a sense, yes, because your spirit's housed in your body, but it's not in the fleshly part of us, is it? It's in our spiritual being, because on the inside of you is your spirit, and it looks just like you. Your outward flesh, if I stepped out of my spirit, I would be right here. If my body's here, I'm standing here, I step out, my spirit steps here, my body's there. Of course, we'd have to hold it up somehow, because it would fall over, but let's just say it stays standing there. You say, wow, well, there's Brother Doug. What's it, you know? So just like you slip your hand in a glove, your spiritual part of you, your spirit lives or slips into your body. Cell for cell, it grows with your body when you are born. And your spirit is there. It's alive. It may not be alive unto God. In that sense, we call it dead, but it's not really dead. It's still there, but it's just not been born again. It's not made alive to God. But when we're born again, that nature on the inside of us begins to talk to us, doesn't it? Why? Because it was born, according to Ephesians 4:24, we're born again, what? In true righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. So, glory to God. We know that the blood of bulls and goats, they couldn't save anybody. It would only cover the sin, but Jesus had a more excellent ministry than that of Moses, wasn't it? By the blood of Jesus, our hearts are recreated. Hallelujah. Anybody here know about the recreation? And hopefully you are what? Born again. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm telling you. You say, well, that's not all that important, but see, it's this love that's on the inside of you that your spirit really is filled with. And it's really the love of God that we display, that men see. Because when love is displayed and men begin to say, that's not natural, why do you treat them that way when they treated you the way they did? Because the love of God lives in me. Because the nature of God lives in me. Because the life of God, see, that love produces a power on the inside of me that can't be resisted. Well, it can be. It can be resisted, or it can be to an extent but there's still a power that lives there. They sense that. That's what people know. They know that love when it's displayed. See, when you let love dominate you, there's a force that comes into play and goes to work for you. There are times when people may be against you. But how many know? When you walk in the love of God, favor still flows. Amen. God gives favor. He gives grace and favor. Things can happen. Many times we get into believers, as believers, we can get into what? I already said most of this, but mental reasoning, and can clutter us up with religious carnal thinking because we haven't taken time to what? Renew our mind. In fact, many times our spirit or our heart suffers at the expense of our head, our carnal thinking. That is the reason we need to get into the Word of God for ourselves and get our minds renewed to that Word. It's the same thing what with our flesh. We cannot be led by our flesh. Then how can the love of God be activated to its fullest measure? By letting the love of God dominate us so that our faith can reach what? Its full potential. How many know that walking in love or not walking in love can affect your faith? Amen. It can. Why? Because your heart, one reason is that your heart becomes convicted or it is heavy. You know, we have been convicted in your heart. You know, say, hey, I'm not doing all the right thing. It can affect how we allow faith to operate. Then how can the love of God be activated to its fullest measure? Letting it dominate us. We understand how to walk. When we can understanding how to walk in the love of God is one of the most important subjects that we can learn so you can know how to work your faith. We concentrate on faith a lot of times and getting it working, and this is good. There's nothing wrong with that. Or with our faith. Sometimes it's not with our faith that's the problem. Say, well, I've got all the right words. I've been making a confession of faith. And maybe your faith is developed and maybe it's just not activated or working. See, faith won't work if there's something wrong with your love walk. Faith does not work apart from love. The Bible says, Galatians 5, I believe it's the Galatians 5, 6, faith works how? By love. Faith worketh by love. And when love is not flowing and not dominating us and we're allowing other things to clog our mind and our thoughts, we tend to block the power of God that's on the inside of us. It's there. We have to stir it up. So we can have an orchestra. Let's just say here, if we have, give you an example. There's an orchestra here, and you can hear the orchestra somewhat. But how many know a lot of times they have to have a sound system? So you have a great sound system and all that, but there's no electricity. And it becomes ineffectual. In other words, it does not affect us like it should. Why? Because there's no power with that faith. The power that comes, the love of God releases a power. It is filled when we simply love our neighbor as ourselves. The law is fulfilled. How much of the law? All of the law. The Bible says all the law and the commandments hang on these two things. That we what? Love God with all of our heart and love our neighbor as ourselves. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. See, we're not going to be sons of God. We are sons of God right now. Amen. So, well, we shall be known. 1 John 3, verse 1 and 2 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, we are sons now. Now, what's that mean? We're going to see him, and we'll appear what? In our glorified body. Yes. But right now, we are the sons of God. You're already a child of God, a son, a daughter of God. That is important. You know, believers, we're to let life and the love of God to dominate our being. And that's the reason that we've got to do something. See, we are not just going to be sons of God, but we are. You know, it's not just in the sweet by and by. We're not just looking for the day that Jesus returns, even though that's important. How many are looking for that day? Amen. It's going to be wonderful and awesome. But we are sons right now. If we've been born again, we are the sons of God. Then we are the sons of love, because God is love, isn't he? And we are made in his image. Since God is love and we are children of God, then we are children of love, are we not? Amen. And believers are to let life and the love of God dominate their being. And that's the reason that we have to do something with our minds and our bodies, because divine love hasn't been shed abroad in our mind or in our body, but we have to allow that divine love to mortify those parts of us and to get our mind renewed, that we can understand and walk in and let that love what dominate us. Of course, we know Romans 12, 1 and 2, the transformation verses that we've talked about many, many times over. Well, let's read them one more time, and we'll Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. And sometimes people take certain verses out of context, not this verse, but he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but were transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What is that good, acceptable, and perfect will? Amen. It is the love of God. It is when we walk in love, we are walking in God, because he is love. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Bible also says in Romans, sometimes people say, Romans 5:8, it says, you know, that we should owe no man anything but to what? To love. Amen. We have the one debt that we can never finish paying, and that is to what? Walk in love. Amen. Now, some people kind of say, well, we shouldn't borrow money, but that's not really what he's saying in context, is it? Now, if you're not good with borrowing money, you probably shouldn't. But the love of God, the God kind of love which was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And when we have that love in there, then we should be what? Lovers, amen? And we need to let that love dominate us. Glory to God, and it can dominate us, because we have a love nature of God dominating our entire being. We want to walk, Lord, in the royal law of love. And we need to make that decision. I will walk in the royal law of love, the love of God. I will talk the God kind of love. I will act in the God kind of love. For I am a new creation, what? In Christ Jesus. I'm not the old person. My new nature is a nature of love. And under this new covenant, or in sonship, I'm going to walk what? In God's statutes, in His commandments, by walking in the law of the new covenant, which is to walk in the royal law of love. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because that love, when it dominates me, I'm going to keep every commandment that God ever gave. Those commandments are going to be kept because they are written upon my heart. And they're written in that royal law of love. And when that law dominates me and I allow my spirit to have its way, I'm going to walk in love. And I'm going to fulfill what? The commandments of God. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen. We can do it. We can walk in that love. We can allow love to dominate us. We can stir that love up by meditating the Word of God, prayer in the Holy Ghost, right? Worshiping God, spending time in intimacy with Him, letting love dominate us in our walk with God, our relationships to fellow man, our relationship with God. And when love dominates, how many know there are great rewards that we're going to receive, not only in the life to come, but in this life. Amen. There's some things we're going to get in this life. Let's just make this confession of faith with the Word of God. Say, Father, I thank you that the love of God's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. That was kind of long, wasn't it? I thank you, Father, that you will grace me. And I choose to make the decision to walk according to the royal law of love. Thank you for helping me, for reminding me today that I can be dominated by love. And that love will have a force that when I release my faith, things will change. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.